Thank God. Well, we're going to continue, just going a little bit different direction. We've been talking about forgiveness and just really living with an attitude of forgiveness. There's lots of facets to that. And we're going to go in a little bit different direction today, but still kind of on the same subject. I just don't think we should go on yet. And if you want to turn to 1 Peter 2:15. Actually, we'll start in 13. 1 Peter 2:13. 1 Peter 2:13, it says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." This is just kind of context to what we'll be reading. "But therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So he's just giving some instructions here. He's talking about, you know, like my Bible on the heading before, in the section before, it talks about living before the world. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And we live before people, Christians and non-Christians alike. And, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about how we should conduct ourselves. Let's just read back in verse 11. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Then it goes on to say what we just read. "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." So there in verse 13, he says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." You know, that's why we obey the laws. If they're not against the laws of God, then we obey the laws of the land. Back in verse 11, he says, you know, as sojourners and pilgrims, that we're passing through. That we're not, I mean, it's just tempting. We've talked about this before, but there's just a constant barrage of things in this world to try to suck us back into the world. And to try to think that's all there is. All there is is what you see. All there is this four walls, you know, this morning. And this is just, you know, we're here. And this is the natural is all there is. It's not. We are on a journey through this life and then to spend eternity with the King of Kings. What all that entails, I don't know. We get glimpses of it from the Bible. We see different descriptions of heaven, but nobody really knows everything. We've heard people that have had visions of heaven to see what it must be like to live with the King of Kings, and I think that would boggle our minds. But that's where we're going. So everything we do here on this earth, you know, if we're Christians, which is this is where we're going today, we are bondservants. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but we're bondservants of Jesus. And we're not just our own person. See, the world would tell you you're just, you know, you do what you want to do. You know, there's things going on in the news right now in the sports world where people say are talking about certain things. You know, you just do what makes you happy and your family and happy and all this stuff. You go with what's going to make you happy. Doesn't even in the natural, even in normal the world. Some people, they don't care about the people around them or whatever. They're just going to do what makes them happy. Well, as Christians, our number one concern is to make sure we're pleasing God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world is constantly trying to suck us back and tell us, you live your life for you. You do what you need to do. You do what's good just for your family. You make sure your needs are taken care of. As Christians, we're to live for the kingdom of God and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go through this life with the consciousness that we are just passing through, that this isn't all there is, that we make sure that we're doing what He wants us to do in any given situation, in any given day, that we're pleasing Him, that it's not about us, it's about Him. Now, He'll make sure all our needs are met. He'll make sure everything is taken care of, but it's not about us, it's about Him. We are pilgrims in this world. We're going someplace. We're going to be with the King of Kings forever, and we're bondservants of Him. So we're not to just go through life looking at ourselves we're to look at him. So in verse, but it, while we're here, we're to submit ourselves to the laws of the government and so forth. We're not to act as though we're above the laws or above other people. We are in this world, but we're not of it. We're going through. We know we're going to a place, but while we're here, we want to live in a way that would point people to Jesus. So that's the context he's talking here. And so then he says in verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." See, we are free. We are free to do, through Jesus Christ. We have been made free. We're not bound. We are righteous through him, and we have a free will. People everywhere have a free will to either believe on God through Jesus or not. As they're going through this life, they have a choice. They can believe Jesus or they can choose to reject Jesus. We have been given a free will. But as Christians, we're free. We are free in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, "We're free, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants for God." So we're free to do whatever we want to do. I mean, we are free in Christ to live, you know. However, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but really our righteousness is in Jesus, but we don't want to use that freedom, like he said, as a cloak for vice, to live in a way that would be unbecoming. In other words, or in another way of speaking, we don't want, just because we're Christians does not mean, just because we're right with Almighty God, doesn't mean we have the right to treat the ordinances of men or other people as if they don't matter, because I'm right with God Almighty, so it really doesn't matter what I do because I already know the King of Kings, so why does all this stuff matter? See, it'd be easy to take that if we get into the world or we get a skewed view of Christianity, we can start thinking almost like you're above it. And so, if you're dealing with somebody that's a non-Christian and is giving you trouble, and you believe you're serving God, and you're a Christian, and you're living for God Almighty, you know where you're going, it could be tempting to think, well, why do I have to deal with you? You're in the way. You're not even serving God. Or this law, I mean, these people are making these laws or whatever. Why, you know, I know where I'm going. Why, this is a misguided law. Why do I have to mess with that? That's a wrong attitude. The Bible says that we're free and we know the King and we're going to live with the King. But while we're here, he says to live according to the laws and not to use our liberty as a cloak for vice. In other words, don't use it as a way to do the wrong thing. Because we are, as he says in the next phrase, in verse 16, he says, "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." And we referred to that a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to, you know, talk about that some more along those lines, that we are bondservants of God through Christ. In other words, it says bondservants of Christ. Because of what Jesus did, we have been bought with the price, and so we're to live according to what he would have us to do, and that includes the way we treat other people. So in other words, we don't have the freedom we have the freedom to act against what God would have us to do in a situation. I mean, like if you wanted to tell your boss off or whatever, technically you have the freedom to do that. In other words, aren't chains that are keeping you from doing that. You can go in and do it, but if you're truly in mindset and in heart, a bondservant of Christ, you won't do it. The love of God constrains you. The love of God constrains you to do what is right, that you will walk according to what he has told us to do, because it would bring reproach to the cross of Christ. It would bring reproach to the cause that we're walking through this earth for. So when we talk about an attitude of forgiveness or an attitude of just a walking through life with an attitude basically of humility, because of all that Jesus did for us, because of what he did for us on that cross, that we then walk through knowing that we're free, but that we've also been bought by a price, that we put ourselves under his leadership. So then when we look at other people, we see people through that glass. We see people through the glass that I am purchased by the King of Kings. Yes, I'm right with him, but these people are precious to him. All these people around us, they're precious to him just like I am precious. And because he paid the great price for them as well, I want to bring honor to him. I want to show them, if they're not Christian, that my God is somebody you want to know. Not that, well, I'm a spoiled rich kid now and you're not in the kingdom, so, you know, Let me show you what you should be doing, and you ought to be cleaning your life up. And how dare you act like that to me because you're not even saved and blah blah blah. I mean, some people do that, and that just puts people further from the kingdom of God, pushes them away, and doesn't bring honor to God. And it's tempting to do that ourselves, but we don't have to be like that. We can honor God in our actions. Verse 15, he says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." All those people that are talking, chitter-chattering, whether on the web or whether on TV, blah, 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 Christians are this, Christian are that, Christians are hypocrites, look at the way they behave. So he's saying, the Bible calls the person without God a fool. The people without God, he says, to put to silence the foolish, the ignorance of foolish men. These people are ignorant. They may think they're knowledge, they're educated, they may think they have knowledge, but they are ignorant of the truth. Otherwise, they would bow their knee to the King of Kings and they would walk with wisdom. You know, the Bible says in their place, the knowledge of God is the beginning of all wisdom, or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's when you turn your heart to God that you truly become wise. And so the Bible says here that when we walk, if we'll just honor God and do it his way, we'll put to silence the people that are ignorant and foolish. And that includes, you know, our conduct means something. We are purchased and bought by a price through Jesus, but our conduct still means something. And God's not going to throw us out because of our conduct. But we want to honor him. We want to bring people to him, not push people away. He says in verse 17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So this whole concept about being a bondservant, that we are essentially slaves by choice to God Almighty. And so with that, there comes stuff. We're going to do what he wants us to do. And as we walk through this life, there may be stuff that's unpleasant. But there may be things that we suffer, that things that aren't pleasant that we go through. And in the context of forgiveness, there may be things that people throw at us just like they did at Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. And it's certainly not the way some people would put suffering. It's not God making us suffer. It's not God undoing every other promise, all these other promises that he's made in his word, where he said he would take care of our needs, where he said he would take care of our health, where we should have good relationships. He doesn't all of a sudden undo that and start throwing stuff at us to make us suffer. But there is suffering because we are bondservants of the King of Kings, and he suffered in this world. He took suffering so that we didn't have to suffer in some places, like He took our sickness, he took our disease, he was made poor so that we could be rich, not necessarily extravagantly rich, but he paid the price that we could never pay. Whether you take that as being on earth or spiritual or whatever, he paid such a price so that we could walk in the riches of Christ on this earth. He's paid so that we can be right with God. We don't have to suffer in any of those ways, but the Bible does not exempt us from suffering in our relationships with people, in the things that we do for the cause of Christ. Paul totally missed it his whole life, if that's the case, if there isn't suffering. He went through things that we probably would not even, you know, couldn't imagine. And he did it because he wanted to share the gospel of Christ with people. And our lives, and Jesus, like I said, there were certain things that Jesus bore for us. There's other things that when the Bible talks about suffering, it's talking about certain things. It's talking about walking as a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are certain things that may come against us. And we just keep the mindset that we're pilgrims, that we're sojourners, we're going through, that I'm a bondservant for Christ. And this is just part of the job description. And nope, people don't necessarily like to hear that. We don't necessarily like to hear that, but it's a fact. And if we act like it's just going to be easy all the time and that nobody, everybody should always like us, we're lying to ourselves and we're setting ourselves up for the enemy to come in and get in there and start telling you it's God that's somehow letting us down. But if we know that that's part of it, whoever we are, it doesn't mean we're martyrs. It doesn't mean, you know, we're the big tart that the devil's just got a bullseye painted on our back more than anybody else. It just means that everybody that's a Christian, he's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to nullify you. He's going to try to neutralize you. And there are things that just are part of the life as a Christian. And there's no way around it. God did not exempt us from those things. But he's given us victory in all those things. So let's read a few verses, you know, along these lines. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 18. You imagine how Paul had to live with people trying to stone him and all the things that he went through. Yet he wrote a lot of things in the Bible about forgiveness and whatever. He had to walk in them. You know, people trying to kill him. Yet he preached the gospel everywhere he went. He had to walk in the things that we're talking about. That means he had to walk just with an attitude of forgiveness. He had to look at these people like Jesus does. People that are trying to kill him. You know, over and over, trying to mess up his ministry. He's trying to preach to people, and they're sitting there gnashing their teeth at him and coming and waiting just to get their hands on him. All the time. Well, this is Peter talking. It says in 1 Peter 2:18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Right there. You could update that to what we're, you know, I don't know that any of us are servants, but it says you could talk about employers. You know, employees, be submissive to your masters or your employers with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. You know, sometimes we want an excuse. We don't want to be submissive to the people that don't necessarily treat us the way we think we ought to be treated. But the Bible says, be submissive to all of them, even the harsh ones. Verse 19, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Suffering wrongfully, though he says suffering. Endures grief. Verse 20, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Now, this is the New Testament, and this is our Bible. This is not, I mean, this is hard to miss what it's saying. There is an extreme. I think sometimes in our circles, if you will, the faith circles type of thing, you almost think, you know, because we know, we've been taught that suffering, we don't have to suffer things for God, like because people have said, suffer sickness, that's God putting it on you. We've been taught that's not true. So I think it's easy to go to the other extreme that everything should be a bed of roses all the time, that I don't have to suffer. By golly, I'm not going to do anything that would cause me pain in the slightest for God, because that's just not of God. See, that's over here. I mean, the one thing is God will do all this stuff like he's just some schizophrenic weirdo guy that should be put in jail if he was on earth, that he's going to, you know, cause you to be sick or something to be punish you and all this. That's over in this ditch. But then over here is that I should never have to do anything that would cause me the slightest bit of discomfort or pain at all as a Christian. I should just be able to float through and just be served all the time. That's this ditch. In the middle is that, you know, God is surely not going to completely go against his cause and cripple the people that are trying to forward his cause. That would be stupid. On the other hand, with the cause comes some stuff that you're just going to have to go through. Just like it'd be stupid for the U.S. government to send a bunch of troops over, you know, to some other country and then set booby traps for them to blow them up so that they can't do their job. That'd be, you know, completely stupid. On the other hand, they didn't say it would be a cakewalk either when they get over there. You're going to have to do some stuff. You might have to crawl through some jungle. You might have to do some things. You might have to be a little bit discomforted, but that's part of the job, and you can do it because we're going to make sure, do everything on our part to make sure you're successful. That's like us. We are soldiers. The Bible calls us soldiers, you know, like a good soldier. We are like soldiers in this earth, and if we get that mentality, that nothing can stop us, that we have the king of the universe, that there might be difficulties, but we can overcome them, that people might not like us, but that's okay. And the Bible even calls that commendable. He says, verse 19, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it, if when you are beaten for your faults," I mean, if you're doing something stupid and you're beaten, well, you know, take your spanking and get on with it. "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Verse 21, "For to this you were called." People don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that. But it's true. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, suffered. Now, he suffered some things, so we didn't have to suffer. Other things, still here. "That you should follow his steps." Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So he says, Jesus is our example. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's our example. And God Almighty, Jesus, was sinless, spotless. He created these people. If anybody had the right to be indignant and to call the angels to knock these people out, it was him, or it was he. We, on the other hand, we're not perfect. People could not like us, and we might not see it, but they might have a very just cause for liking us. We just can't see it. We're not perfect. We have flaws. We probably irritate other people in certain ways. Jesus was not this way. He never did anything wrong, ever. And he was the creator. He created these people. He is God, yet they are treating him like this. He could have done all kinds of things, but he didn't. So if we look at him and say, you know, if you were standing side by side by Jesus, and you're in this situation, and they're just doing all kinds of things to him, calling him all kinds of names, and you're looking at him, and they're calling you names too, and you're tempted to get irritated. Just imagine this. You're tempted just to go out, well, let's take these people out. This is nonsense. And you look at him, that's what you're thinking. And you look at him, and he's just taking it, and he's not getting mad. In fact, he looks at him with love in his eyes. You look at him and say, well, now if he's looking at it like this, you know, maybe I better change my attitude. I mean, if he can do this, then surely I can do it. If he, the King of Kings, the one that has no blemish, nothing is wrong with him, yet he's acting like this, me, I'm not perfect. I don't have the same, you know, level in the universe that he does. I can do it. And how much more we have been purchased to be exactly that. We're his bondservants. We're his servant. We're his children, yes, but we've put ourselves under him willingly. And if it's good enough for the master, then it's good enough for us. And that is the way of power. That is the way of strength. Again, we're not going to balance everything out. There are things that we have to do sometimes to to make a situation right, maybe sit down and talk with somebody. That doesn't mean we don't stand up for what's right. That doesn't mean we're a doormat. That doesn't mean we just go around letting everybody push us over in the cause, and saying it's just because we're Christians. That's a whole other thing. We're not saying that at all. But we're saying there are times when people treat us like we're reading here, and we don't return. We don't do what we could do. We walk in love. And if love calls for us to intervene and to do something, just like Jesus did, then we step in and we say, look, that's not right. This is not going to stand, and this is why. But we don't do it just because we don't like the situation. There's a difference. Let's turn over to, hold your finger there in 1 Peter, because we'll come back to 1 Peter. But let's go to Ephesians. Yeah, and like I said last week, a little differently, I don't think this is one that people get up and jump around, run around the room, but these things are where we live, and this is part of the Bible too, and these are things that will help us, even though we don't necessarily like to hear them at times, help us in the critical points of life and keep our life on track when the devil wants to push us off track. Ephesians 6, verse 5. So, I mean, we read literally that, you know, we're bondservants of Christ in that first verse. Now, here he's talking about, literal bondservants at that time. Verse 5, he said, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. That helps a lot. If when we're looking at somebody that doesn't, if we're under them or employee or whatever, if we'll just look at that, we're not doing it, look, I'm not doing it for you. Not that we have to be negative about it, but I'm serving God Almighty. So I look at it as I'm not doing it because of who you are. I'm doing it because I'm honoring my Lord Jesus. And that we can always, Jesus doesn't change, so he is always worthy to be honored like that. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So he's just saying, don't do things just because of what people are looking when they're looking at you or because of men. Do it. Live as a bondservant of Christ. And if we'll live as a bondservant of Christ, then we're doing the will of God. And we'll live in accordance with what he wants us to do, and that we'll live with at peace as much as it depends on us with other people. Let's turn over to Colossians 3:22. This is a parallel verse of scripture. It says almost identically the same thing. Colossians 3:22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So he says there, let's read it again. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. See, we do things because we fear God. And it's tempting sometimes in situations, we don't have to talk about people in the workplace. We don't even have to talk about people, you know, in church. We can just talk about even at home. Sometimes we do stuff with our spouse or with our children, whatever, that we could do different things. We could say things. We could come back with a retort. But we do it because we fear God. And because the strong thing to do is to fear, because we're fearing him, that we treat each other with respect when a normal person wouldn't. But it's not necessarily, it's because we love Jesus. It's because we love God. And we're acting, it says here, you know, with sincerity, not as men, not with eye service as men pleasers, not so that you like me, not so that you think I'm even a good person or a good Christian, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm That's why I'm acting the way I act. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Do it heartily. Do it with all our gusto as to the Lord and not to men. Not because men are watching me, not because I think that's what they want to see, but because I'm doing it to the Lord. And if we'll behave like this, if we'll live life like this, we won't have to look over our back and see who's watching or see if somebody thinks we did the right thing. Because if we'll live as to God and do things because of what we really, if we're true to what we believe inside and to our Lord, we don't have to apologize to anybody for doing anything. I mean, we're going to be perfect all the time, but we're not turning things off or on based on who's around. We are going to act according to what we believe God wants us to do, and we're doing it unto Him. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you're in a situation where it's very difficult with the situation you're dealing with to deal with that person. But if you say, not doing it for you, doing it for Jesus, and I can do it for Jesus because Jesus has done everything for me. And sometimes I've been said, you just have to do that. And you do that, it raises you out of this situation and puts you right back where you need to be with your eyes on Jesus. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord. So he says, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we serve Jesus. And the devil will try to get us off to think, well, you shouldn't take that. You shouldn't put up with that. You should act like this. You should get that person back. Or, man, you don't need to work, you know, this way, because after all, they're doing this. Those are all distractions to get us off where we need to be, to get our eyes fixed away from Jesus instead of being fixed on Him, to be fixed on all this stuff. And that just gets you, you're on the devil's playing field. But if we'll put it back up and just stay in the realm of faith and keep our eyes focused on God, then the devil cannot defeat us. He cannot keep us down, because we are focused on the King of Kings and knowing that, hey, this might be part of the job description, but I'm going over. Now let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And actually, we can keep reading a little further. He said, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. And he goes on, he's talking about Jesus. Go down to chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. But he's saying, he goes, you know, back in the verses we read previously, that you may suffer for doing good. While you're doing righteousness, you may suffer. Back in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And in verse 17, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now skip down to verse 12 of chapter 4. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now, he's not talking about, again, I mean, context, with the Bible, all through it. They're not talking, people pull this stuff out of context and act like they're going to go through some physical hell. It's not true. They're talking in context about people reviling you and people, you know, you suffering for righteousness. It's not God making people suffer. But he says in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So he says it again, very plainly, if you suffer as a Christian, and like, again, you know, this is almost a subject in itself, but we're just talking about because it really has to do with this, in dealing with other people and in forgiving those people and in walking with an attitude of forgiveness towards the people around us, even if we're suffering, even if we're dealing with the junk other people are throwing at us, that is a normal thing. If, you know, again, he says, you shouldn't be suffering if you're a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer. Now, if you're suffering for doing something stupid, he's not talking about that, is what he says. If you go out, you know, and rob a bank and you suffer and have to go to jail, you know, then he's not talking about that. He said, don't let any of you suffer for doing that kind of stuff. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Or he could say, don't think that you don't have enough faith or you're not doing everything right as a Christian because you're suffering something, but let him glorify God in the matter. And then in verse 19 he says, therefore those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And that again comes back to, you know, that we are God's through Jesus, we are bondservants, and that in this we just commit our souls, we commit our situation, we commit everything to him as a faithful creator. You know what? I don't like this situation. Maybe I have to deal with this person, but God, I know clearly what your word says. I know what the word says in dealing with these people. I'm going to follow that, and I'm just going to commit myself to you as a faithful creator, as someone that I know you've taken care of me. I know you're on my side. I know you, though you were so much, you walked as the King of Kings on this earth, as a man, but still as God, you had a right to retaliate, but you didn't. And if that was good enough for you, it's good enough for me, Lord. I just commit my situation to you. I choose to do what you said I'm supposed to do. I choose to let my actions line up with what you said, and by doing that, I am having faith in you. I'm trusting you. I'm choosing to believe that you're going to take care of me even when I want to try to take care of myself. Even when I want to do something different, I'm going to look to you. Yeah, that's part of being a Christian. There's times when we just have to walk that way. Not all of us, it doesn't mean it's not a bad confession. It's not saying that bad things are going to come on us. It just, the Bible plainly says it, that it's life as a Christian. So we don't, doesn't matter if we confess it, doesn't matter if we don't confess it, pretty much going to happen if we're living, if we're doing what God wants us to do. God didn't say it was always going to be easy. He didn't say people were always going to be easy to deal with. He didn't say every situation was going to be easy. He did say that we are more than conquerors through all things. He did say that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He did say that nothing, no tribulation can separate us from the love of Christ. And so if we have that mindset, if we'll go on with that mindset, then no person can take us down, no situation can get us off course, that we'll walk as his bondservant, knowing that, God, I'm looking towards you. There's going to be one day where I'm going to meet you face to face, and until that day comes, I'm going to walk with my trust in you, your hands, with my life in your hands, with walking the way you would have me to walk, so that I can get, when I get there, I can say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I didn't get distracted to the best of my ability, and that will be a joyous day. Thank God.